Welcome to Solder Smoke, where we talk about all things electronic and geeky. We meet on Echolink and swap ideas related to workbench and radio projects. If you have any questions about this podcast or suggestions for future casts, send a note to soldersmoke@yahoo.com. Our webpage is www.geocities.com/soldersmoke. As always, have fun, melt solder, and pass along your ideas.
KL7R, KL7R on the Mendenhall Glacier near Juneau. This is M0HBR in central London. You there, Mike?
Yeah, M0HBR, KL7R. Morning, Bill. I'm glad to hear you this morning. I was just fixing to head off to bed, so you caught me here. HF conditions are pretty good. Been chatting with the guys on 80 there. What you up to this morning?
Well, it must be somehow meant for us to do a solder smoke edition this morning, Mike, because you're just about to head off, and I just woke up. So if I, it sounds like I got a frog in my throat. I just woke up. It's early Sunday morning. I guess we're doing, what is this now? I've lost track of which number we're on, but it's the 23rd of April, I think. Oh, I'm not even going to give a number. There we go. It's under smoke 20. We've been asked to mention it early on because people lose track of the numbers, and it's hard to tell as once we start rambling on. But anyway, yeah, glad to catch up with you. Not a whole lot to report here. Not a lot of solder being melted here in central London, at this UTH anyway. But a few projects. I continue to fool around with the double sideband rig. And I've there are signs that people are hearing me out there. You mentioned good HF conditions. from my location here, surrounded by tall buildings in downtown London, I don't think I could ever really hope for good HF conditions. Sunspots could be at max. I'd probably still have a difficult time getting out. Yeah, 80. of course, I'm kind of antenna challenged on 80, but I guess it just presents some challenges for the amateur radio operator. I'll have to work on that and figure out how to get a better signal out. I'm thinking of going vertical. There's not much horizontal room around, so I'm gonna order a big long fiberglass fishing pole and go vertical. I might have to wind it a bit and load it to get on 80, but that is one band I'd like to explore around here because there seem to be some really good local rag shoes here in the UK. So, what's up? Anything digital brewing there on the Alaska ham radio front? KL7R M0HBR.
Yeah, not a lot going on with solder here. I ordered and received the soft rock. It's the soft rock that does 80 and 40 meters and. So it's a soft rock version 6, and I've got it here, and it's all surface mount, and I have opened the package and printed out the docks, and I think I'm gonna balk on that one right now. I think what I'm interested in is I'm gonna try to build an 80 meter transmitter, maybe a transceiver, based on the PSK 80 PSK 31 warbler. The 80-meter PSK warbler by Dave Benson from Small Wonder Labs. He did the PSK 80 warbler, and his call in was NN1G. It looks like such a simple rig, and it's got that push-pull amp that I sent you, and it's almost a single sideband rig. It's got two crystal filters in the IF transmit chain, two crystals as a filter, and our net here in Alaska is on 3933, and I found at DigiKey they had 3932 crystals. I've got them here somewhere. They're 3932 21. So I'm thinking I can pull these 3932 crystals up to 3933, and I've got four of them, and he's using five of them, from what I can tell. He's using six of them. So I'm thinking I can start off with just the transmitter and with three crystals, and then maybe just turn it into use a double sideband receiver and not use any crystals on the receive side. Two for the IF filter and one for the oscillator, and then maybe one or none in the receive train. And anyway, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna try to breadboard or Manhattan construct the PSK warbler. I think that'd be a good project. And maybe I'll learn something there. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah. Well, I came across an interesting term. You mentioned the software, the soft rock. I was reading Steve Ford's column in the latest QST, and he was talking about homebrewing and how a lot of it has moved into software. So he suggests that we might use the term soft brewing. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, well, the rig for 80, one rig that I've looked at for a long time and I really admire for its simplicity was intended for use on 80-meter nets up in VE7 land, not far from you. I think he was up in the Yukon territory. It might have been British Columbia. But this is the rig known as the Wee Willie. Wee Willie. And I think if you Google that, you'll be able to find it real quick. I don't know if it's the Epiphyte. I think it's different. The Wee Willie is a bit different. It's really simple, really small. He used some really unusual construction techniques. I think he built it on kind of copper-clad cardboard that he painted. It was real home brewer stuff. And there's some great pictures on there. Somebody put together a good website on it. Very, very simple rig, double sideband, and intended for use in a local 80-meter or 75-meter net. So you might want to take a look at that. But your project with the crystal filter sounds a bit more ambitious. Wee Willie is it's real simple stuff, double sideband, NA602s. So, but you should give it a look. I thought it was a really interesting rig. There's another really simple double sideband rig out there. It's showed up in Sprat. I think it's a ZL2 BMI's rig, and that was again in New Zealand. They had a bunch of guys build them and use them on a local net. So that would be fun. I always thought it'd be great to have a bunch of people build rigs like that and then use them locally. That's one of the great advantages of 80 meters and 160, of course. I used to love to listen to the 160 meter roundtables up in the Northeast when I was back in the States, and occasionally I'll try to listen in via the online radios or some of the Equilink stations that have HF receivers on the air. Great stuff. There is some 160 meter activity here in London too, and in the winter I occasionally will tune in at night, and it's always that band seems to be very conducive to really good good rag chews and roundtables. What else was I going to mention? Let's see. Oh yeah, QST. The old radio section had this beautiful picture of a Drake 2B, and the author of the old radio column, I think it's John Dilks. I hope I got his name right. He wrote this really nice article about the Drake 2B and the 2NT. Well, I'm a big Drake 2B fan. I have one sitting here. I still use it. I bought mine in 1973, and it's still my main station receiver. I guess that puts me way out of the mainstream, Mike, but I really like that rig. So we've got to discuss the electroluminescent receiver. We've got to We've got to talk about that a little bit. But I'll turn it back over to you. KL7R, M0HBR.
Yeah, M0HBR, KL7R. Well, I looked up the Wee Willie on Google, and I couldn't find it. So maybe it's something that was in Sprat, and I'll have to look back through the Sprat there. But if you can find something on it, I'd like to see that. I've done simple transmitters, but I haven't done many of them. I seem to jump right into harder stuff. So I think maybe I'll start a little slower and maybe do it in pieces. But anyway, I was looking at this. One thing I really haven't experimented much with is any 612s and any 602s as oscillators and mixers. So I want to play with that a little bit. And this has a couple of it in there. So I'm fairly comfortable with op amps and transistors. Not so much comfortable with transistor RF amps. But I'm pretty comfortable with passive mixers like SBL1s. But I'm not that comfortable with building my own mixers or oscillators using an NE602. I tried it a few times, and I got things that had terrible hand capacitance interaction and, you know, jumping megahertz when I move my hand close to it. So I've got some work to do there. Yeah, if you can find something on the Wee Willie, and that would be interesting. I've never owned a Drake 2B. I was interested in at one time there was a Drake that came out that would it was an early synthesized rig, I think, and it would go out of band and I was really interested in that thing at one time 20 years ago. I can't remember, Drake TR7 maybe, something like that. Never got into the Drake 2s, although some people really love them and build them, you know, for contest quality receivers and stuff like that. Forget what you said at the end there, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R.
Yeah, KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, I found it. It's Wee Willie is on our website, www.qrp.pops.net. /Willy, W-I-L-L-Y, dot H-T-M. I sent it to you there in a little box so you can see what I'm talking about. It's a very attractive circuit, Mike. I feel guilty in sending it to you because I fear that I'm going to launch you into a whole world of Wee Willie soldering and home brewing. We've been working together for a while now, and I kind of know that this is the kind of thing that will... we'll get you soldering. So anyway, there it is. Check it out. And I think, anybody, any listeners who want to look at it, there is the website. But I just Googled Wee Willie, W-E-E, then the second word, Willie, W-I-L-L-Y. And then I just threw DSB in there for good measure. I guess we should mention, you know, let's see. I think it's the E7GC. I should give the guy credit. Hold on a second. Take it up on the screen. Yeah, the E7GC, the Wee Willie 75-liter double sideband transmitter project. And very nice web page with really excellent photos and discussions of another version just constructed by November Mike out NM8T, and okay, there you go. So that's the information on the Wee Willie. Yeah, the NE602s. I just came across this week a circuit that used an NE602 that really caught my eye. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to build it, but here it is. It's in the. I'm a big fan of Pat Hawker, G3VA, and he writes in the UK ham radio, UK version of QST, Radcom. He writes that he's written for the last 40 or 50 years a column called Technical Topics. Really good. And they, every decade, they publish a compilation of all of his columns, and I always get the compilations. The latest issue has, I looked through the index, and there was a section in there called Simple SSB. And of course, that was for me, so off I went to Simple SSB. And I have in there, picture this. There's the NE602 as the only active device. You've got audio input coming in. Well, obviously, you're going to have some sort of audio amplifier or something to put the audio in. They use the internal oscillator circuits on the NE602. And I think they run it, I think they were running it at almost maybe color burst frequency, 3.579. So that's where it's oscillating. And then you take the output from the NE602, which will be double sideband. So you, with a 3.579 RF coming from the internal oscillator and the AF coming into the other port, you have a double sideband signal coming out. Then they built just a simple ladder filter using three crystals at 3.579. And there you have it. You have, using the one chip there, you have a single sideband signal. And you can, I suppose you could run it right there on that frequency, although that's probably in CW range in most countries. But if you had the right crystals, you could do it, do what you were just talking about. Just run it as a transmitter. Or of course you could use some mixers and heterodyne oscillators and put it on the band of your choice. But I thought that was a real, I'd never seen an NE602 used that way to produce, to directly produce an SSB signal. KL7R, M0HBR.
Yeah, I've got more to learn about NE602s. I know you can use them as oscillators and I know you can use them as mixers, but if you could use it as a mixer and an oscillator, that'd be right up my alley there. That'd be a pretty interesting circuit. I'll have to check that out. Maybe I can figure that out from the publications for the NE612 or whatever. Well, cool. Yeah, these look like fun. And I got some of these 3932 crystals, and I'm pretty sure I can pull it up to 3933. Whether I can pull a ladder filter up in frequency is another question. I'm not sure about that. I know I can change the ladder filter bandwidth, but I'm not sure I can pull a ladder filter's frequency. I don't know how that'll work out. I may have to drop it and make it into double sideband rather than single sideband, or just have wider filters and be a little bit sloppy on the opposite sideband, the rejection there. So, but anyway, I think that'd be a good project, and I've got a nice piece of virgin double-sided circuit board looking at me here. That's about 5 inches by 12 inches. I'd be able to put some circuits on that puppy. Let's see. So yeah, still been cleaning up the shack. I wiring up some coax. Got most of the main pieces. I still have to get my PSK interface and my sound card interface wired up to my HF rig. I've got it wired up to my VHF rig. Got most of my antennas wired up. Maybe another week or two, I can start tie wrapping these cables up and cleaning the install up a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to stay too late tonight, Bill. I'm sure glad I bumped into you here. I was fixing to head off to bed. Wife is fighting off a flu, so I don't want to make too much racket here too long here. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, okay, Mike. We'll let you go wrap it up here. You shouldn't be, you'll have no problem pulling that one crystal, that range. I mean, you can't, when you get that down that low in frequency, it's hard, but it's hard to, you can't pull them too much, but 1KC should be okay. As far as the filter, I don't know, that might be difficult. They get, when you put three of them together, I think they get kind of obstinate. I don't know, but a technical challenge. Yeah, and the NE602, that's the whole idea. Use the oscillator and the mixer. So you can. I've used lots of them as a matter of fact. That's the balanced modulator in my double sideband rig that I've been talking to you about. I use an outboard crystal oscillator, but I suppose I just as easily could have used the internal oscillator circuit in the NE602. It an interesting chip. Of course, it was made originally as the IF chip for use in some of the early cell phones. That's why that's what it was, what it came from. It's hard to imagine one of these huge huge chips inside any of the cell phones we're using these days, but that's where they came from. And there's a lot of them out there, and a lot of different versions too. They're all essentially the same thing. I mean, you'll hear about any 602s or SA602s or 612s. I think they're all the same, with just different kind of temperature parameters on different versions. I'll let you go. But one thing we have to correct here, we got some email. I've got to be able to pull up the email faster here. But somebody mentioned the fact that when we were discussing last time the April Fool's issues of Ham Radio magazines, that one of the projects that we mentioned, or might have been mentioned sort of at the same time, was in fact a real project. I think this goes along with what we were discussing about how dangerous it is to publish a ham radio article in the month of April, because you are at the risk of somebody might think that it's one of the joke articles. But the electroluminescent receiver, I've seen some discussion on this, and I've seen the article. It looks really neat, and I think they use a lot of light-emitting diodes in there at different points, and it kind of glows. So I guess this is, I know it's a real project, and I'm sorry if we gave the impression that it wasn't. So I guess this goes back to the old saying that real radios glow in the dark, although I think that it's usually applied to the tube-type radios, but what the heck. The electroluminescent radio glows in the dark. KL7R, M0HBR.
Yeah, Bill, M0HBR, KL7R. Yeah, I was pretty sure at the time it was a real radio, especially when they were talking about putting a DDS VFO on the thing. It's just they were using phrases like Tokyo at night and electroluminescence, and it happened to be in April, so that was... You mentioned that a terrible thing to happen might be that you would be in the same issue as an April Fool's joke, and I mentioned, yeah, I think that one qualified. So my apologies if that went awry there. It looked like a really fun radio. That one looks like it'd be a ball to have. I bet if I put that thing in here, I could keep my wife awake all night long there with the blinking lights. I used to have a sign in my cube. It was something about das Fiddlespielen in die Finger poken and Dummkopfen keeping the hams off the knob twiddling, something like that. It was sort of English, bad German. my mom put that in my ham shack years ago. that was kind of fun. Yeah, and as far as the NE602 oscillator and mixer. The PSK31 warbler, 80 meter warbler, is exactly that. It starts off with a little bit of an audio buffer, and it goes right into the NE602 with an oscillator crystal. And the output goes to a couple of crystals in a ladder filter, and so you get some sort of single sideband out, and that goes right straight into a couple of amplifier transistors, and then it goes into a push-pull amp. So all these things are kind of putting in the same direction here, so I think I'll maybe get something going. I did have a question, though, on this Wee Willie, and I have seen this, by the way. This is the popcorn site. I didn't ring any bells on me. He's got two NJFETs. It looks like that's the amplifier. And the amplifier is running off of 6 volts. That can't be real there. Is that right? A 6 volt final amplifier using JFETs there, over?
I was just looking at the schematic. You know, there's been some discussion of the on the Usenet groups, and maybe on QRPL, about that final amplifier. I guess you could do it. I mean, it'd be hard to get a whole lot out with 6 volts. But I suppose it's possible, but we'll have to take a look. I mean, like I said, there's been some discussion on the final. It's a very, very simple final, and I think it did raise some eyebrows. And I remember some back and forth, some guys just saying, nah, and others saying, well, yeah, it could happen. And so, anyway, we'll have to check that out. Just, again, I think you could Google or take a look at the QRPL archives, and I think you'll find discussions on the finals there. Hey, we got to do one little astronomy thing before you go. We have to have our astronomy segment here. We haven't done it in a couple weeks, but I had the 6-inch Dobsonian reflector out there, and I was looking at Saturn, and I can usually always see the big moon of Saturn, Titan. But with the new telescope, and this is what you want, this is what you buy a new telescope for, Mike. I got to see a moon that I hadn't seen before. So this little thing sparkling there off to the side. We ran back in, ran the Saturn satellite program on the computer, and yes, indeed, I was looking at a new moon, Rhea, of another one of Saturn's moons that I'd never seen before. So I guess it makes the telescope upgrade worthwhile, and that's certainly my best DX for the week, Mike, KL7RM0HBR.
That's awesome, Bill. I don't think we've had clear skies since the last time I talked to you there. That's not really true, but I haven't had my telescope out in some time there. Cool, Rhea. I didn't know the name for Rhea. I've heard of the other one, but not Rhea. I was just watching the latest NASA TV, and they were talking about all of these new asteroid, comet, planet sort of things out beyond Pluto, and they've found another planet larger than Pluto farther on out. I forget what they called it. I think they called it Xena. They wanted to call it Xena. So yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff there. They're sending a probe out that way, and they said that it's more interesting even this year than it was when they sent the probe. We're fixing to send the probe to Pluto. All this new stuff they found. I forget, there's a, what do they call that, a Kuiper belt? What's the name? There's a belt out there beyond Pluto, and where all these asteroid, comet-like things live, and planet things. All right, Bill. I don't have a lot here. Sure, good to hear from you. Have a good week, and enjoy your day off. I'll get some rest and try to enjoy mine tomorrow. Things are kind of winding down here in the construction area, so I'll be able to. I will mount a pad at least on this Virgin circuit board and see where I get going here. Maybe I'll even get an oscillator that's semi-stable and be able to key my call sign into the net or something. I did check in to Anchorage, which is about 1,000 kilometers away, and with 100 milliwatts single side band today, so HF wasn't too bad. 73 for tonight. M0HBR. Let's tie the ribbon. KL7R.
KL7R and 0HBR. Okay, Mike. Don't look at that PC board. Don't look at it now, because it's gonna call you over to the workbench and oblige you to solder something to it. Put it away. We're going tomorrow. Get some rest. 73s. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next time. KL7R and 0HBR. 73.